military-related entertainment.
And a big aloha. Welcome to A Vision for Maui, sponsored by Shaka. Go to shaka.movement.org. And I'm so happy to have back in the studio Mark Sheehan, old friend who I haven't seen for a little bit.
It's been a while.
And another friend in the studio here. Really great to see Alika Atai here. And it's good to see you too, Alika. Both radio people in the past, right? Having done that. and today we're going to, as exactly the title of this show says.
Well, we're going to talk. I'm going to give people a brief update on the Shaka court case. Everybody remembers that on November 4th, 2014, the people of Maui voted by a narrow margin to approve a GMO moratorium on the cultivation of genetically modified organisms and the pesticide used with them until there could be proven safe and not harmful to the environment or to the people of this island. And here it is a year and a half later, and we don't have any proof, and we have further evidence that keeps accumulating about not only how harmful some of the primary pesticides are that are being used, but the combinations. And the government is beginning to look at these combinations and see that we have no way of testing for these combinations, but we do have evidence more and more that they are harmful. What is unique about Maui is there was a case on Kauai that where the people voted in favor, the council voted in favor of a disclosure bill and buffer zones. And they were taken to court by the seed industry, but the county appealed that to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. Something quite similar happened on the Big Island of Hawaii, where they asked for a ban, the council did. People wanted that. The very same industry took them to court. The very same judge, federal judge in Honolulu, ruled that the counties don't have the authority to do that. However, in the Maui case, it wasn't the council who voted for it. The county was not really going to tackle this problem. The mayor was dead set against it. So it became a ballot initiative. 19,000 people signed a petition. It got on the ballot, despite very clumsy and awkward wording that was intentionally designed to confuse people. And nevertheless, and despite $8 million being spent by the seed industry here, people voted in favor of this moratorium. The same industry went to federal court, and in this case, the county did not support the decision by the voters. The county stood back and said, we'll just stay out of this entirely. So instead of supporting the people and who are trying to engage in democratic process, what they did is stood back, and now all three counties are on appeal. And that appeal is coming to a head in Honolulu on June 15th, where the three judges from the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals will be at the bankruptcy court in downtown Honolulu hearing all of the cases. And so we will be there, and we think our case is special because of it was passed by initiative by 23,000 people voting for it here. But these are very important cases, and this decision will have implications not only for the state of Hawaii, but across the country. So we expect that there will be demonstrations, and perhaps my guest, Alika Atai, here will speak to that issue. But we want to remind people that if they want to follow the decisions that have been made, they can go to shakamovement.org and read the recent updates about the case. This is something that people have wondered, what is happening, what has been happening, and that's why we're having this show, and one of the reasons why we're having it.
Does anything the people do or say make a difference in the way that the judge will rule in June 15th, or is that something that is just basically going to be his looking at the past history and the judgments, and then he makes a decision?
There are three judges. So at the local federal level, one judge, Judge Mulway, ruled that that the state laws preempted the county and there were state laws involved here and the county didn't have the authority. We dispute that in our appeal. And that federal law trumps state law. And that was the ruling. Now that's what's on appeal. So all three court cases, Kauai, Hawaii Island, Maui County, will be heard, and each will receive 15 minutes. So the judges have previously had the opportunity to review all these documents. And if people want to go to shakamovement.org, they will see that there are maybe 200 briefs that have gone back and forth between our attorneys and the attorneys for the seed industry.
Did I hear you right? 15 minutes?
15 minutes, yes.
15 minutes? What can you say? We couldn't do a show in 15 minutes. How could you read? Wow. So who what do they get to? Who gets to express what in 15 minutes?
All the attorneys have filed their briefs on these motions and counter motions and motions to suppress and so on. So it's so elaborate that I don't think we can even get into it
yeah.
here. The other thing we want to point out is that Maui Tomorrow has issued something called a Malama Aina report. It's a conversation about the food future, the farming future of Maui. Something that I've been thinking about for decades, I have to say, because it's been obvious for a long time that sea levels are rising. We are a remote, vulnerable place on the property, on the planet. We bring in most of our food, and we produce very little. And what we have been producing in the guise of agriculture is a product that gets shipped out and has been an export crop. But the main concern is that that's been a failing industry for decades, and finally the last sugar company could no longer keep up the effort to control the land with a product that has been losing in value. And now we are in a situation where we have vast acreage of highly polluted land with very little life form in it. So one of the reasons why I wanted to
I just want to interrupt you, so in case people are in the car, if they want more information, of course, they can go to futureofmaui.org. There's a rather extensive study on this that's been done.
The whole report is there, and it's not the final vision. It's a conversation, because we realize that there are a lot of farmers and ranchers and environmentalists and indigenous people here with a great deal of wisdom. So we, Maui Tomorrow, wanted to start the conversation. But I thought it would be useful to have Alika Tai here, who is going to be a candidate for the Wailuku seat on the county council, and who is a nature farmer. He uses indigenous practices. So maybe you can say something about the report. You've had a chance to look at it, and you've also been in the taro patches and training young farmers.
Aloha, first off. Aloha, Maui. My name is Alika Tai, and I'm here to be a part of the conversation for Maui's future and the vision of Maui. I saw this document here, Malama Aina, a conversation about Maui's farming future. And this is being a project of Maui Tomorrow Foundation. And I thought it was an excellent start to begin the visioning of the future of Maui. However, I want to back up here a few mm-hmm. minutes ago, and for clarification, you know, the acronym that we throw out, SHAKA, I want to be clear to everyone what it stands for. And it stands for Sustainable Hawaiian Agriculture for the Keiki and for the Aina. And so with that, that's been my involvement. My focused involvement has been just that. Our quest to have this genetic engineering experiment put onto the initiative ballot so that the people could have their voice, which it was expressed that we want to know whatever is being done, is it safe? And we've committed to that. We've committed to that process. And we've committed to this process that they call democracy, to the point where we've followed it through in the legal courts. And we're now approaching. The level that we've got to is the Ninth Circuit Court, the appellate court, and this is where the appeals are heard. And so what's coming up on June 15th, I cannot express. That is a very, very important date for all of Hawaiʻi, because that judgment will determine what kind of Hawaii we will have for our future. I stand here as a person who was born and raised here, come from ancestors that lived here. And they didn't just survive here, they thrived here. And we come along not just a couple hundred years, well over 1,000, 1,500, 1,600 years, they thrived. And now here we are. We see lands that's polluted. We have water, drinking water that's polluted that we can't no longer drink from the wells. We see fishes, endangered species, being contaminated and harmed. And most especially, we see children being born with medical issues such as their stomachs being outside. These are white flags, red flags, that's saying what is going on is not pono, is not safe. And it's a very simple question that we asked, the voters asked and expressed it through a form of a vote. So June 19th, the islands of Kauai will hear their judgment.
And June 15th,
the island of Kauai will hear their judgment. Big Island will hear their judgment, and we will hear our judgment. And so that's why we're here, is to let people know that this is a very critical, critical time.
So is that a final judgment, or is the Supreme Court the alternative?
Well, they will have some time to, they have up to a year to issue the report. We don't think it'll take that long because we think they've already heard all the arguments. Mm-hmm. But there is a possibility that if the verdict of the appeals court is something that the industry is unhappy with, they could appeal it to the Supreme Court. On the other hand, if the ruling goes the other way, we may very well, the Jaca movement and our supporters, we have supporting briefs from the Center for Food Safety and the Earth Justice Foundation. So we may be appealing to the Supreme Court. We have no idea where it's going.
This judge is not from Hawaii.
The three judges will be coming from the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals headquartered in San Francisco. We don't know who those judges are.
Separate from what
it's a next
before.
Level. There are nine circuit courts around the country, and the Ninth Circuit is the West Coast, Alaska, Oregon, Washington, California, Nevada, and Hawaii. Mm-hmm. So they're coming out here and to hear these cases.
It's going to be a very important day.
We think it's a big day, and I think there may very well be demonstrations. Do you think so, Alika?
I think that's why I'm here also, to encourage everyone. Mm-hmm. If you, not just those of us who are born and raised here, but if you have intentions in living here, if you have intentions of your grandchildren or even your great-great-grandchildren to live here, this is very important.
Sustainable. If the current type of what's called agriculture, I think surface mining is a better description, were sustainable, the sugar industry would be continuing. But you can't. And you can't you can't produce food if the soil is not healthy. You can't have healthy crops that you can feed to people to have healthy people. Instead, what we see is that we have many sick people, and we have a sick environment. When the fish are dying, when the reefs are dying from the runoff, when people are going to the emergency room as a result of contaminated wind from either burning sugar crops or pesticide drift, those are clear signs of ill health, that the environment isn't healthy. And when there have been tests made of the waters in Hawaii, we find that there's glyphosate, that's the active ingredient in Roundup, is in the atrazine, another pesticide used in the industry, has been found in the water. But the truth is that the agency in the state that is responsible for this, the Department of Agriculture, and their pesticide division sees no problem, so they don't do any testing. This report from the Government Accounting Office notes that nationally there's not enough testing, there's not enough samples taken, because they have been taking the position that if it's approved, the Department of Agriculture's position is, if it's approved by the Department of Agriculture at the federal level, then it's acceptable to them. So they don't do the testing. They aren't taking the measures, which is why the Shaka movement was formed in the first place. People were looking at what is happening in the environment, what's happening to our citizens, particularly in vulnerable areas, and they're saying, something is not right here. We have to take responsibility ourselves. If we're going to have a sustainable environment, we need to have sustainable agriculture. Otherwise, our keiki and the aina will be contaminated. We can't have healthy citizens without having a healthy environment. So I think there's a lot of agitation out there, and I think that we have new candidates running for office at the state level for the state house. We have a new candidate running for the 8th House District, the 12th House District up in Kula, Terry Lawrence. We have Kanye Ling, who's under attack, who has a challenger because of the way he has voted. And we have other citizens coming forward to run for county seats. Trinette Furtado is going to be running for the East Maui seat. I think there are new faces showing up, and it's about time, because people have seen that the state has not really acted on their behalf and the county has not really acted on their behalf. In fact, when the county had a chance to implement the recommendations of the citizens' action, the Shaka thing, they had, after it was approved, and then we had the 9,000 votes we needed to put it on the ballot, the council had 60 days in which to act on it without putting it on the ballot, and they did nothing, even though they heard all kinds of expert testimony. So the people who've represented us, I think, have done a better job of representing the interests of the corporations and the industry that it's been polluting than they have on acting on behalf of the health of the citizens.
Is that why you're going to be running for office, Alika?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So it takes a lot of money to run for office, and it takes a lot of time and energy, a lot of work.
I should interject, by the way, that the Shaka movement is a nonprofit and is not really endorsing Alika's candidacy. Mm-hmm. I asked him to come in, and nor is Maui Tomorrow.
Right.
I asked him to come in as a nature farmer who has had his hands and feet in the taro patches and has been training young farmers and so on, and knows what the challenge is. There's a top of the a newspaper article today about the mayor saying they're looking for a few good farmers. Have you called the mayor's office, Alika, to tell him that you're...
Yes, I called the farmer. Called the mayor a couple of times already. Still yet to hear the answer. And then I hear on his radio show, "Oh, nobody calling me." I'm laughing because this guy, there's a bunch of farmers that have already called in.
So tell us about the farming situation. I mean, from my point of view, which is definitely an outsider, I've seen a lot more caring organic farmers coming to the point of realizing that they want to grow healthy gardens, healthy food. You know, it may be a drop in the bucket, but it seems like there's more people out there than ever before who are working as farmers and doing organic and healthy food. Have you seen that?
I think you can see that on a consumer level, you know, and you can go and ask the stores and ask stores like Costco how much organic produce they've increased from last year. Mm-hmm. You can ask the restaurants, you know, the requirements or the requests from a lot of the consumers.
Yep.
So the trend is there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now let's go back up. You know, look at the food or look at the plate that we're currently eating out of. 90%. There's stories of a high 80s to 90, and in some cases 92% of all of the food that we are consuming is not from here, is being imported. And so we got to look at our problem and say, we live in an island. You know, you now have to address the issue of food safety and food sovereignty. Should there be a natural disaster or a catastrophe, how long do we have food to feed the people? I say in the past, both federal, all three, federal, state, and county governments, have not really put focus and energy in the production of food, yeah, to feed the people and feed the visitors here. If we simply lower our imports by 10%, what is the economic impact to our island? $300 million.
Really?
As a farmer, you should get a piece of that $300 million.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to really look at jobs, career opportunities. The average age of a farmer is 60, you know, on Maui.
Really?
But we teach natural farming classes.
Mm-hmm.
We average about 80 to 100 in there. Half of that are guys that are 30 and under. So there is an interest and a desire. It hasn't been only recently that land has become available, or the opportunities to farm on land is now becoming available for these up-and-coming want-to-do farmers. There's a lot of people that want to step up and increase the production. The other side to look at it is, what are we importing? There's no reason why we should be selling bananas that come from Ecuador when we know we can grow it right here. Why are we selling mangoes from Chile when we can grow mangoes? So why not look at it from a negative import focus? Whatever we bring in, can we grow it? Let's grow it. Zero it out.
I want to let people know that we're talking, this is Mark Sheehan, and I'm speaking on behalf of the Shaka movement to bring attention to a report produced by the Maui Tomorrow Foundation called Malama Aina. Malama Aina means care for and nurture of the land so that it can give back all we need to sustain life for ourselves and our future generation. And it's a visionary report that covers a lot of important issues, and I think everybody who's listening would want to consult the report, which can be found at thefutureofmaui.org.
So let's go into that a little bit now in regards to agriculture and farmers and growing. Do you have, and do you see that there's enough people right now on the island growing the products you talk about, bananas and mangoes, for example, that if there was a way to cut back the imports, that those bananas and mangoes and whatever might else be available could be provided by local farmers?
Why not? Given the chance. Mm-hmm. Let's pause also on the other island, Big Island. Recent announcement, another farmer who is 600 acres of banana for whatever pesticide or blight or fungus issues he had, he said he was canceling out those 600 acres. But he's been producing 600 acres of bananas for several years.
Mm-hmm.
So what does it tell you? There is a market right now, to consume 600 acres worth of bananas. As a Maui farmer, I'm telling all the Maui farmers, hey, go plant. Mm-hmm. Plant 20 acres. Plant 50 acres.
Yeah.
You go 50, you go 100. Somebody's got to cover the shortage of that 600 acres.
Okay, so where's the land? The cost of land.
Well, this particular report looks at the 36 or 35,000 acres of sugar land and what can be done with it.
Mm-hmm.
And the thesis here is looking at regenerative agriculture, because I think you could say that industrial agriculture is degenerative as long as you, when you keep putting in external chemical inputs that are running off and contaminating the streams and the ocean and the wider environment and the people who work in that industry, you can't sustain that. It's degenerative agriculture. The resources are degenerating. Regenerative agriculture has to look at it from a different point of view. How can you change the land? So one of the big issues that everybody talks about is, what are you going to do with all that poison land? How are you going to make it productive? How are you going to make sure that the chemicals aren't drawn up into the fruits that you're producing? So one of the big issues is, what will it take? And nobody knows exactly what it will take.
We do.
And I want to I want to tell people, by the way, that there is a call-in number here if they have a comment or a question, 242-7800. And if they can't get through on the line, people can call my cell phone, text my cell phone, 283-2158. Go ahead.
So I want to answer that, because I'm confident that that knowledge and expertise is available right here in Maui. We do natural farming, and through the process of utilizing indigenous microbes from our own area. Pause. Yeah? Who fertilizes a forest? Does a forest grow good? Obviously, whatever in that forest must be good. So what we do is we gather the microbes and microorganisms from the forest, and then we multiply it and then apply it on this land that needs regeneration. For people that want to learn how to do this, we are scheduling a series of training for natural farming methods. The master will be coming to Maui June 18th and 19th. We'll be holding a workshop on that weekend up at the Maui Tropical Plantation, and that's how we begin.
So again, that's June 18th?
June 18th and
19th. At the Maui Tropical Plantation. How do people find out about that? Register?
You can go to hinaorganic.org.
hinaorganic.org.
Yeah, HINA stands...
Is it sponsored by hinaorganic.org?
Yes, it stands for Hawaiian Indigenous Natural Agriculture.
HINA, okay. Because that's very important. Of course, we all know the importance of the quality of the soil and the quality of the
earth. It's all about, you know, some people say soil management is a part of farming. No. It's all about farming. Mm-hmm. The health of your soil will give you the health of your plant.
Well, then there's health the water.
Of your plant.
Well, getting the water as well.
I just want to say, when you say we all know that, no, we don't all know that. In fact, the county is committed to chemical farming. What goes on at the Kula Agriculture Park? Are there any organic farmers there?
450 acres of the Kula Ag Park. How much acres is organic?
Really?
How much?
I have no idea.
The Hawaiian,
zero.
Hawaii Organic Farmers Association used to have a plot there, but I think it got taken over by someone who's growing flowers now.
Yeah.
And using chemical inputs for those flowers. You know, so we don't all know that.
Mm-hmm.
And yet more and more people are figuring it out one way or another, either from a trip to the emergency room or from the widespread movement toward organics. And then they begin thinking, well, you don't get organic food unless you have good soil, and people are waking up. Plus, remember, Vincent Mina produced 11 body and soil conferences here up in Olinda for many years with some support from the county, but that was withdrawn after a while when the Farmers Union went to the county and said, you know, you can't be doing this.
Well, do you want to go into
The Farm Bureau.
Do you want to go into the Farm Bureau versus the organic farmers? And
No.
Okay, we won't go there.
I want to point out to the people that...
I want to go here. I want to go where agriculture is important for Maui.
Mm-hmm.
And the future of Maui, you know, will be answered in agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also the economics of it. We need to understand you know, we are importing 90% of the food we eat. Why?
Mm-hmm.
Why can't we invest in our future by getting the production of food? Production of food equates to more jobs, more career opportunities. On the front page, this mayor talks about ranchers, yeah, focusing on ranching. I'm saying don't only focus on the production of cattle. Why are you, right now, 95% of all the cattle that is produced on island, where does it go? It goes off island, yeah? And then what is happening when it gets shipped off? What's in their stomach? The soil minerals from our aina. Those soil minerals leave, go to another place, go to a feedlot, then go to a slaughterhouse, and our own island soil minerals never return. Okay? So we're getting depleted of our soil with our soil minerals being shipped out. Why can't we look for the future of jobs for our people by also committing? I commit to ranching, but let's also commit to rendering, to commit to slaughterhouse. So there's jobs for meat cutters and truck drivers. This is an industry that we have an opportunity, you know, to look at other ways of creating jobs for our people that reside here.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's kind of coming back to where it started before everything went off kilter. There's a problem always. Everyone wants everything fast and easy. And I think that's where pesticides come from. You want a quick fix, you know. It doesn't really work, as we've seen. I mean, as everyone's seen, quick fixes are.
The people have been making the decisions. Corporations have been making the decisions. It really comes down to that refrain you're hearing more and more: it's profits over people.
Mm-hmm.
People have never been sat down and said, let's have the discussion. We think that the people who own the title to the land have the right to do whatever they want. They have the right to destroy the land, to pollute the land. Do people have the right to burn down the forests if they want to? That's what's happening in a lot of parts of the world, so that people can raise cattle, so that people can have Big Macs. Half of the pollution on the planet comes from cattle farming, you know. And are we getting the best results from it? No. If we're going to be having cattle farming here, I think Alika's right. We need to have slaughterhouses. We need to get the minerals that are being taken up from our soil returned to our soil. Isn't that what you're doing up there at Hokunui?
Yep. We're doing regenerative farming up in Hokunui. It's a 200-plus acre farm.
That's a good size.
And we use the rotational grazing of cattle, followed by chickens, and then followed by sheep. So we're regenerating. It was former pine land, pineapple land, and just moving it around and trying to regenerate that soil. And we've got some exciting things where we've rigged up a yeoman's plow with natural farming amendment solutions full of microbial life. And as the plow goes through the field, we are now inoculating the soil with a lot of the natural solutions. So,
See it in the grass, and you see it. I was up there a few weeks ago. See it in the grass looking more vibrant, and you see it in the cattle that are there looking healthier and fatter and plumper. So it's not just theory. You see the results.
It can be done. And so
Can you mention some other people who I know George Kamok supports it, but can you mention some other people who are also that you know are also working along these lines?
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of the members of that are with our HINA organization. They're all committed natural farmers, so they're all committed not to be using any chemical or pesticides, fungicides as such. The natural process is we use nature, so we go and collect and we take things from nature and put it into a natural amendment for helping the plants
out. Now, at this point, we know how farmers markets, when they happen, everyone wants the healthiest, most organic food they can get. At farmers markets, those are the things that seem to be the most popular, and then there's people who go for the cheapest price. But are you able, with the product that you're creating, able to sell all of your product, and is it through farmers markets, or how are you?
Well, there's different distributions. You know, I mean, there's some folks choose to go through farmers markets. Some folks just have alignments with certain restaurants and stores, and you know, they have their distribution lines, you know, committed in that direction.
And you're able to sell it all?
Yeah, pretty much everybody's got that, you know, down. But now what we're looking for is we want to up it. Yeah, you want to get up to the 1,000 level, 1,000 acre level of production, and making some kinds of marriage with bigger distributors, if not create a distributor. We sent a couple of people over to Spain to study Mondragon. Mondragon is an area that was based on cooperatives and collaboratives. So we're looking at trying to make a paradigm shift in the social economic structure of doing business so that the farmers will also benefit and get the fair, equitable share as much as the end producer. You know, one guy growing the tomato, the other guy growing the salsa, and then he's selling it out. I'm telling the farmers, hey, we no longer just growing tomatoes. We grow salsa. We no longer just grow basil. We now grow pesto. So we're trying to get the farmers involved in the entire process so that they too get the shares of the whole rather than just a small piece.
I want to go back to the mayor's comments, which were, I guess, at a recent meeting by the Grassroots Hawaii organization. And he's advising farmers what to do, you know, get together, get some money, get a business plan together, make a present your plan to A and B or call the county. But why are we kind of throwing it back out there to the public? Why isn't the state of Hawaii looking at these valuable lands? 27,000 of these acres are designated important agricultural lands to stay in agriculture in perpetuity. Why isn't the county looking? The mayor says, well, you know, if we can come up with these plans now, we can take advantage of the talent from the HCNS, the sugar operation, to work on these lands and begin to use that equipment. I think we would be much better off if the county were to come up with the plan and to hire these people to begin the practice of turning the soil, of doing the contour farming, of beginning to take a stake in our future. What do we spend our money on? What is more important than producing our own food? How much is it, Alika, that the state spends on agriculture? You have some figure.
Yeah. Okay, so the entire state of Hawaii's budget for agriculture, 0.4%.
Wow.
That's their commitment to agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
Not even 0.5%. So I'm asking the county, the state, why not commit to food? Commit to the increased production of food. So, for example, we don't have a processing center or food hub center that has flash freezing capability. But what if we're consuming X amount of millions of pounds of mango, and we go out there and go plant 200 or 300 acres of mango? You know, when mango season come, within 1 month, they all ripe, right? So we would have to process and harvest 200-300 acres worth of mangoes all in 1 month. We don't have that kind of processing facility to do that. Couple that with lychee. What if we planted a farm orchard of 200 acres of lychee? Lychee, we got to harvest them all in 2 weeks, right? So if we have a plant that can process and flash freeze so that then they are able to be stored and then distributed, the small farmer ain't got that kind of money.
Yeah.
So we would have to rely on revenue bond from the government. So we need some kind of commitment. If we're going to farm and plant, we need a commitment of the processing side.
I want to take the opportunity to point out that Earth Day is coming up this Sunday.
Yes.
And I'm not sure of the exact time that it opens, but it'll be at the park, at the usual park.
It's 10 to 6, I believe.
10 to 6.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Shaka Movement will have a table there for people who want to get updated on our court case. Maui Tomorrow will be there to explain to people more about the farming future, and there'll be copies of the report for people to look at. I want to encourage people to go online. But I want to take some of the remaining time to talk about your political candidacy here.
I'll be at Earth Day.
It'll be
I'll just mention, in case you just tuned in, futureofmaui.org is the website for that, and shakamovement.org is the Shaka.
Right. So the court case update, go to shakamovement.org to see a copy of this 40-page report on the future of Maui and some of the issues involved, and to join that conversation, go to futureofmaui.org. But you're part of the future of Maui. If you want to be in office, you're running for the Wailuku seat. There's three other people already running.
Mm-hmm.
I will be
at Earth Day Festival. Okay. And so I'll be able to visit with everyone and talk story. And I think I'm scheduled at 2 o'clock on stage to share my mana'u to the people and let everyone there know that I am filing for my candidacy for Maui County Council seat for the Wailuku district, which covers primarily Waikapu, Wailuku, Waiehu, Waihe'e, and on through to Kahakuloa. However, because it is a bipartisan vote, it's a vote that can be done countywide. So if any registered voter that is already in Maui County, that includes Molokai, Lanai, outskirts of Hana, upcountry, you also can vote for me. Although they label me as Wailuku, when I go to the table in the council chambers, I make decisions what is best for the entire Maui County.
Are there many farms in Wailuku?
Yeah, there's several. Just about every ahupua'a there's farms.
Are there?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, of course, that's important. There's going to be some changes that are going to be going on, of course, With the lands, as we all know.
Mm-hmm.
And originally, of course, all the waters from EO.
Mm-hmm.
Way going back over 100 years, the waters were changed, and there's still that battle going on. But the water's key, of course, to any kind of farming.
And that's a critical issue. You know, a lot, there's a lot of families that hold deeds,
mm-hmm.
yeah, to Kuleana lands and Kuleana water rights. I highly encourage all of those families, heirs of those families, to plant a couple of kalo in your own Kuleana area, which then deems you have your right to all of that water.
Mm, I didn't know that. That's very interesting.
Oh, they know that. The other guys know that, but they just discourage the guys don't have access to there. You know?
So we're seeing, and I think it's very encouraging what we're seeing with Grow Some Good now, teaching children
mm-hmm.
about growing
right.
And farming and right. healthy, and it's taken off. Right. The schools love it. The kids love it. The teachers love it. I think it's seeds for a new tomorrow
when you definitely.
Have when you have the kids learn. For all of these people interested in having more, and including the schools, to have more land for the kids mm-hmm. to now grow.
Mm-hmm.
How does that process happen to have more land for more growth for food?
Just simple. If you're a person or there is somebody that has land, wake up. Use them. And if not, offer it to someone who could use it. It's simple.
How know? Does the community farms, I mean, I don't know if that's still in place, the one down in Ma'alaya where they had the community co-op farm down there at the harbor, but I mean, there was a few taking place, and I know there was one at the college, but how are those happening?
I think the county could do a great service. I don't know what exactly the county official dealing with the
it's time we have a Department of Agriculture for county.
Maybe we need that. Apparently, there's an office at the Maui Mall that's selling T-shirts that is related to the county's commitment to agriculture. I want to suggest that there could be a stronger commitment to agriculture. We could help people. When I come into Kahului, people say, oh, you know, and I bring papayas and bananas from my farm. People say, oh, I wish I could grow these things here. And I say, well, you can, you know, if there were more support for people to grow in their backyard. I saw a picture the other day of an aerial photograph of an American suburb, and alongside it was an aerial photograph of a Swiss suburb. And every house, mm-hmm. every property, every plot of land was growing food.
Yeah.
And the county could do a great deal to encourage people to do more farming in their backyards. But the big opportunity right now is the one that is presented here in the Sugar Lands to think differently and more comprehensively. We might have to spend 5 years remediating these lands. We might have to really have a much more visionary approach. But there are visionary people out there, and we've been getting calls with regard to this plan by people from around the country who say, I happen to see your plan, and I think it's really brilliant, and I'm interested in it, and I have something to offer. We met somebody here on the island recently who is an expert in soil remediation. There's a well-known mycologist, a mushroom grower named Paul Stamets, who said when it comes right down to it, if there's a commitment on the state or the county's part to regenerate those lands, I have a technology that can be extremely helpful. There are people who have been very successful. There are very inspiring in this report. People will be led to other sites in other parts of the country and the world where people have taken contaminated land and regenerated. There's a 7,500-acre farm in Argentina called Laguna Blanca. People can look it up on the internet. Very inspiring what they did to take land that had runoff from chemical fields into the river and contour it and change from chemicals to productive farming to grow food. So this is a movement right now. There's the food companies that have been switching now because of the labeling issue with Vermont, they're switching from, they're looking for organic foods. And guess what? Since 95% of the wheat and soy and corn are GMO, they're having a hard time finding organic foods. So there's a tremendous opportunity, not only in the marketplace, but there's a tremendous interest in people wanting to be healthy and realizing how sick we've gotten from eating contaminated food. So when I look at how our county is run and how the state is run, I see a tremendous lack of awareness of how important the soil is, how important real farming is, how important it is to begin to train the future farmers. And when someone like Alika comes along and says, I'll take a leadership role, I'm willing to run for council, I'm inspired, and I hope there are other people who share these concerns who will do the same thing. And if I have a future show, I would like to interview other people, but I'm really inspired that Alika would be willing to come out of his taro patch and say, enough already, we got to change how we're doing things here. This is a county in trouble that cannot really address some of this really important issue. And we saw that back in 2014 when the council refused to address the concern of 19,000 people who petitioned for a moratorium. So now, rather than just talk about the problems, I think we need to deal directly with people who understand the solutions. And I think Alika is one of those people.
For me, it's real simple. It comes down to who lives here and who sleeps here. If you live here, then you would look at this place as your home. And if this is your home, you will do your best to keep it the best. That's why we had the saying, Maui no ko oe, keeping Maui no ko oe. And so there's people there that come here, live here. I came here to chase the almighty dollar. I sleep here just to chase the dollar. I make decisions that will be harmful to the land, harmful to the water, the aina, harmful to our environment, and most especially also harmful to our children. Now, when you make decisions that hurt and harm our future, now you're not living here. You're making decisions as a person who's just sleeping here. And so my stand is, we've been there. We see all these guys, politicians, career politicians, play this game. And we sit here, we let you guys go play your game. But now, your game has crossed the border and now affect our people, our children, our future. And now your decisions, or poor decisions, are shaping and not keeping Maui no ko oe. You know, you got to back up, correct the decisions. And so my choice was, I got to step in. And I'm asking all the others to step up and step in. And we got to, together, it's we, the people, got to correct the course that this is going. And that's by stepping up and getting in and being involved. And so, yes, we are running.
Well, in the 5 minutes we've got left, how much is education and how much is politics and how much is money?
Well, a lot of it is education. Maui Tomorrow Foundation is an educational foundation. Mm-hmm. People often say that, realize that after 25 years of working for the environment, we decided to take a step further in terms of not only having good development and preventing abuses, but to put out a positive vision with this opportunity and to create a discussion. We're all in this together. And so the Malama Aina Report is an invitation for everybody who has been thinking about this and concerned about it to read about it and to make it a topic of discussion. We hope it'll be discussed by the farmers and environmentalists and community associations and lead to this may be version 1.0. There'll be a subsequent report that is more complete and more elaborate and more detailed.
Is there a place people can get together and have a conversation with you about it? Are you going to have any meetings or anything in the future that people can, or is it done online? Or how's the best way for them to communicate with you about
actually it? The future of Maui.org plans to have a video presentation where people can say, I've got somebody to contribute to this thing, and so on. They'll be videotaped maybe at the Earth Day event, mm-hmm. and they can say, this is my suggestions about where we can go and how things can be improved. And so we'll have they can go to futureofmaui.org and comment on it, or they can comment in video and send it in. So it's being set up, as an ongoing dialogue with the public. But I want to go back to education. Let me think. So yes, it's important. That's one of the concerns of the Shaka movement, is to educate the public as to what's going on. Same thing for Maui Tomorrow. These are nonprofit organizations. But we're talking about our children and what they're fed. If 90% of the food that's coming in is GMO food, is that what we're feeding our kids? You told me, Aliki, you talked with somebody from the department.
Chicken patties, pork patties.
Yeah. What kind of food? Is that food, real food? And how much of, you said there's 500,000 pounds of apples and oranges?
Oh, yeah. They're number one for the school lunch program. What they bring in is 5 million pounds of apples and 5 million pounds of orange. All of that imported. Hmm. So I asked them, I said, why can't you make that order star fruit or tangerine or, you know, things that we grow here and help the local farmers and buy 5 million pounds of, well, 10 million pounds, actually, of local produce of apples and oranges. So, you know, we really got to look at, you know, what we are eating and where it's coming from, and how can we have a married connection of health and economics.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we only have 2 minutes left. And
we're in times of change, and I think everybody out there knows it. We see changes, and people are fed up with the way things have been done. The mantra that Alika used again.
Enough already.
Mm-hmm. We, if we keep going at the speed, someone said the other day, we were talking about the report, and someone's saying, well, how are you going to make some money? And someone said, you know, we're driving down the road 100 miles an hour, and there's a brick wall in front of us, and we're arguing who's going to be in the front seat. It's time to get really serious about our issues and realize that there are thousands of people in this county, on Lanai and Molokai and on this island, who are really concerned about these issues and look for real leadership from our county. They don't see it. We're looking for leadership from the state, and we find that instead of assisting the farmers, they're supporting corporate farming and the seed industry that is involved in what I consider to be dangerous practices. So it's time to change the system. We need more awareness at the state level, and I hope to see more progressive people from Maui County running for state offices, and I certainly hope more people will step forward like Alika and run for a county office. We need to change our system. We need more awareness of how fundamentally important. So people want to follow up on this and they want to hear more about the Shaka court case, go to shakamaui.org. About the future of Maui, go to futureofmaui.org, and maybe we'll see you at the, hope to see you at Earth Day.
And Earth Day is Sunday at Keopulani Park, right behind the Maui Botanical Gardens, across from the War Memorial Field, and that'll be from 10 to 6. And you'll be out there, Mark Sheehan, you'll be out there, Alika, and there'll be a lot of conversations and education going on there. And this is the first step to making the changes needed, is making it public, making a conversation, making everyone involved, and making everyone care enough to make a difference, right?
Yep. We're all, yes, it's a new era, and we have to kind of not just talk about it. We got to really step forward and make things happen. So,
well, I applaud you both, you know, doing what you can do to make a difference. I know you're both out there doing that, and so that's a good example, I think, for everyone who can make a difference. So for more information, again, go to futureofmaui.org, or if you can go to shakamovement.org for the other information on the state.
And when we have a website up, alikaatai.com.
Thank you very much, and aloha.
4203.